The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. So I want to begin right with that gospel. You know, throughout the Christmas season, and by the way, public service announcement, we now have a full Christmas season. You know, the whole society around us anticipates Christmas while we're still in Advent. They forget about Advent. They just jump to Christmas right after Thanksgiving. And now, like tomorrow, they'll switch back to just like regular music on the radio. And we're like, no, it's the Christmas season. We should have Christmas music now. Now is when it should begin. So we have a whole Christmas season ahead of us. And throughout the Christmas season, and even in the Advent season leading up to Christmas, we've been hearing a lot from Luke's gospel, because he records a lot of the nativity story with which we're all very familiar. Mary and Joseph, they went to Bethlehem to be enrolled for the census, and while they were there, Mary was ready to deliver, and there wasn't room in the inn, and we know the story. But here, for today's Mass, the Church assigns not Luke's Gospel, but the very, very beginning of St. John's Gospel. This very poetic, It's one of the most famous texts in the world, known as the prologue of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And John is talking about Jesus Christ, but before he was known as Jesus Christ. John is talking about the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Just quick recap of Catholic theology, right? The central mystery of our faith is the Blessed Trinity. Three persons, one God. How are they three people and yet one God but three persons? It's a mystery, right? But that's the central mystery of our faith, that we have one God. We're not polytheists. We believe in one God, and yet they are in three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they've always been that way. That's what makes them one God, is it's not like the Father existed first and then created the Son, and then they created the Holy Spirit. No, they are all co-eternal, to use technical lingo. They have all been there from the beginning. That's the mystery of the Trinity. We can't really get our heads around it. We're not supposed to. But what John is describing here, John is talking about the second person of the Trinity, who, in the fullness of time, took on human flesh and was named Jesus Christ. But even before that happened, he was already there. He was there as the second person of the Trinity, as the Word of God. And we see foreshadowings of the Trinity even in the Old Testament. God in the Old Testament talks about my word, or sometimes my spirit, a reference to the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We don't have an explicit revelation of the Blessed Trinity until the New Testament, where we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here in the beginning of John's Gospel, this beautiful passage, John says, in the beginning was the Word. He's making a reference to the second person of the Blessed Trinity's being co-eternal with the Father. In the very beginning was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, God made everything through his Word. We know that to be true from Catechism. God made everything in and through Jesus Christ. But then John's Gospel goes on, and he says right at the end, and finally, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory. So John is saying, this guy has always been there. He's always been there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been there. But in the fullness of time, to kind of clean up the mess that we got ourselves into, God finally sends his Word, and his Word became flesh. The eternal Son and Word of God became a human being. That's what we heard in that second reading from the letter to the Hebrews. The author to the letter of the Hebrews says, brothers and sisters, in times past, God spoke through prophets. He spoke in various different ways to try to get our attention. But now, in the fullness of time, he has spoken to us through his Son. What we're being told is God has finally had the last word by sending not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just a healer. Jesus Christ, yes, is all of those things too, but he is God. God sent God. Now, it's funny because when I talk to people sometimes about Jesus Christ as God, they say, well, Jesus Christ isn't God. He's the Son of God. I say, well, yes, he is the Son of God, but that's what makes him God. Each and every one of us is the son of a human being, right? But we're still human being. I wouldn't say, well, no, I'm not a human. I'm the son of a human. Well, no, I am the son of a human, but that's what makes me human. It's my nature. The same thing with Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and that's what makes him himself God. That's why Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. But sometimes we think of just God the Father as God, and we forget the fact that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are fully God. Again, that's the mystery of the Trinity. Three persons, one God. And what that letter to the Hebrews is saying, that second reading is saying, God spoke in the past in varied ways, but finally, he has spoken to us through his Son. God sent God. God sent his Son. The Word of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We in the military would appreciate what the Greek actually says in that beautiful prologue of John's Gospel where it says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's really kind of the nice, cleaned up English. Do you know what it actually says in the Greek? It says, the Word became meat, really. It's not so much flesh. It's more of like a sense of, the word in Greek is sarx. It's the Word became like meat. The Word like took on like the nitty-gritty, right? And pitched his tent among us. That's what the Greek actually says. The Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. In the seminary, we always joke that the translation should be, the Word became flesh and went camping with us. He pitched his tent among us. That God took on our human nature. Now the last thing I will say about these readings, another cool little thing about the Greek here. We hear that word repeated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything came to be through the Word, and the Word, the Word, the Word. And I've sufficiently explained, I think, that the Word is in reference to the second person of the Trinity, who would become Jesus Christ. But guess what that word is in Greek? It's logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God, and all things came to be through the Logos. The Logos is the word in Greek. You hear the word logic in that. Our word logic comes from the Greek logos. So in the beginning was God's divine logic. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is the logic of God. Now, how does that make sense for Christmas? Because God's approach to fixing the mess that we got ourselves into through sin, God's logic to fix that, God's divine plan to fix that. And talk about God's ways being different from our ways, because this is not the kind of thing that any of us could have ever thought of. God's plan to fix the mess that we got ourselves in, to get us all to heaven, because that's what he wants. God's plan, God's logic, was not to send his son as some great military commander to just kill people and break their toys, right? As the saying goes. That was not God's logic. That might have been our logic. Our approach may have been, well, that's what we need to do. If I was God, that's how I would have sent Jesus Christ. I would have had him just kind of appear on earth as some great military commander. That wasn't God's plan. God's logic, which we might think ridiculous, but there's a genius to it. God's logic was, I'm going to have my son, who is going to be the savior of the world, I'm going to have him born as a tiny, helpless, poor baby to a completely unknown, poor Jewish girl in the middle of nowhere. That's my logic, God says. That's how I'm going to fix the mess that we got ourselves into. And yet, we learn so much from that logic. We learn, for instance, that true power does not come necessarily with force. We have someone like Jesus Christ who shows us the strength that comes in service. We see in him a model of servant leadership. He says, I have come not to be served, but to serve. Again, one wouldn't think of that. One would think if you're going to send someone, he's going to be some great, powerful king, military leader. He's going to have people waiting on him, hand and foot, left and right. But no, God's logic is, I'm going to show people the way by becoming the lowest possible in their nature, taking on their human flesh, being born in the middle of nowhere, in an interesting marital situation, poor, in a manger. And I'm going to teach through that example. I'm going to clean up this mess through that example. And of course, the ultimate divine logic is Christ's death on the cross. God says, I'm going to make suffering redemptive. I'm going to make it such that suffering, although painful, and although something that God does not enjoy watching us do, doesn't enjoy seeing us suffer, God says, I can make that redemptive. And we know that that's what God did. We know that he sent his son to suffer and to die for our sins. And in doing so, to show us an example, again, of servant leadership, of how God's plan is better than what we could have thought of and yet so different from what we would have thought of. Today, let's give thanks to God for sending his son, his word, to take on our flesh, to become one of us, to teach us in God's own logic, to teach us in his own way what it means to be a leader, what it means to be a servant, what it means sometimes to be a victim, to offer up our sufferings. How appropriate, too, that I'm preaching here at a military base on Christmas Day, and we have some of you, perhaps, and so many others here who are on duty, who are defending this country on Christmas Day. And to be able to say to them, your suffering counts. The fact that you can't be with your family today, that means something. That can be redemptive. You can offer that up. Christ has shown us that. That is God's logic. It's not ours. It doesn't make sense to the rest of the world, but it makes sense to God. Let's give thanks today to God for the great gift of his Son. Let us pray for the grace to always live up to his example.